This is Scott Berguin of KSOW Radio in Cottage Grove, Oregon. We are talking again to Linda and Phil Waste of Military Family Speak Out. They are on the Bring Them Home Now tour, the Southern Leg, and they are somewhere in Virginia, I believe, but they'll fill us in on where they're at. Good morning, Linda and Phil.
Good morning. We are in Richmond, Virginia. We left the beautiful town of Williamsburg yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Arrived in Richmond for a noon rally. And we held the rally outside the National Guard recruiting station, and the office was empty. Now, we come to find out that quite frequently this office completely closes down or changes locations if they get word of any protesters coming.
It changes locations?
Yes, it changes locations. They actually move the recruiting office.
My gosh. Okay, that seems a bit much, but well, you shut them down though. For I guess that's really not your purpose. Your purpose is to give out hopefully balanced information about the options that are truly open to anybody thinking about joining the military.
Well, their sign was still outside, and the protest was carried in the paper with a large picture and captions about Cindy Sheehan's tour to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Bring home our troops. So we got good press.
Good. Okay, so it's been a couple of days since we've talked. How are the two of you feeling?
Really, really hopeful. This last couple of days has really been something. We had a number of dissenters yesterday at this noontime rally, and oh my gosh, some of them are so rabid. It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you more about that. We went to a Congressman Bobby Scott's office yesterday, and that was a very positive office to be in. Of course, he was the few that stood up against this war, voted against this war. So we were really pleased to talk with his staffers.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to Republican Senator George Allen's office, and of course, you know, they're in D.C. right now, so we met with two of his staffers. Now, we had 10 people with us, seven from the tour and three locally, and we all shared our stories about losses, about kids with PTSD, and some of the horror stories that are going on. And when we left that office, both those staffers had tears in their eyes. I asked them, after all of us had told their stories and they looked so numbed by it, I said, has no one told you these stories? And they said, no, no one has come in this office and said these things to us. And I said, you need to realize what you are hearing around this table is what is going on every day with military families. You need to understand. We had a gentleman there whose son just got out of the psychiatric ward in Walter Reed Hospital from a severe post-traumatic stress disorder. He is suicidal. They will not allow him to have a gun, and they're sending him back to Iraq with the 1st Armored Division.
No.
Yeah.
We know a number of people this has happened to. We know a young woman in Hinesville, Georgia, whose husband attempted suicide, was in the hospital for several weeks, destroyed his stomach, and they loaded him up on medications, and he's in Baghdad right now. This is what our Army is doing to these young men and women. They don't care. They are putting out to the press that they will take care of them. They are doing nothing. And the hardest part is, so many of these young people, they will not go seek the help because of the stigma.
Right.
Goes in their folders. They're ostracized by fellow soldiers. It's a sign of weakness. So this is happening every single day.
Scott, I can amplify on one part of that. And this is what I told the staffer. The soldiers now, when I was in the military, if I needed to go to sick bay, I showed up early and went to sick bay. I didn't have to have a note from my commanding officer or the first sergeant. Today, in the Army, if you need to go to sick bay, you have to get a note from your first sergeant or commanding officer and you to go to sick bay. And in doing so, you have to tell them what is wrong with you. And if you're telling them that you're having headaches and nightmares and night sweats and fear, they're going to tell you, suck it up, soldier, and you don't go to sick bay. You don't get help. They filter out these soldiers that are suffering so severely, and they just tell them to suck it up, and they never get to see a doctor or a psychologist.
That is all very, I can see why the congressional aides had tears in their eyes. It's very hard to hear. I think it's many of us, like myself, suspected this sort of thing. And would you say, so it sounded, what you just said, Phil, I was going to ask the question, if this is a standard operating procedure in the military, you know, and has been in time of war, or if this is something that's going on now, pressured by that they'd need the bodies, or what do you think is going on?
Oh, they're so shorthanded. They're not recruiting anybody. They're using pressure tactics in recruiting. They force these soldiers to show up at recruiting rooms, and they hammer them. They take turns, these first sergeants and master sergeants, in recruiting these soldiers, telling them that they're no good, they can't go home and work, there's no jobs, and they need to re-up for at least a year, and they give them a large bonus, and they do this without... And they do this when they're remote in a stressful situation, so parents can't interfere or even be brought into the process. They isolate them.
They usually do this in Iraq too, don't they? If they're already, if they're about to come back.
That's what he means. Is they're doing it in Iraq. They go to these meetings, and the thing that the contrast there is when they come into a recruiter's office, they tell them how much the Army's going to do for them, you know, how great they are, how well they did on the ASVAB, all their opportunities. But once they're there, they're telling them to get them to re-up. They're telling them that they don't know anything, that they haven't learned anything, they have no skills to survive in the real world, and they need to re-up. Now, this one gentleman I was telling you about who just visited his son, Walter Reed of the psychiatric hospital, his son is supposed to be getting out of the Army this November. He has been stop-lost. And his new date for getting out is February of 2007. Now, that is so that he can return with 1st Armored Division to Iraq this November. They'll return the following November. Then they have to be in for 90 days before they can release them after they come home. And this is what's happening everywhere. This is no doubt what will be happening to our son, who is due to get out this April.
Well, I keep thinking what echoes in my mind is talking to Hart Vigis, who's an Iraq vet who served a tour and then went, did the conscientious objector status and actually got it after about 8 months. But him talking about having to stand up for himself, and he called his congressional leader and pushed, and that seemed to help for him. But boy, if you're in Iraq and they're pressuring you and you're combating, so to speak, these things of, you know, I don't want to appear to be a so-called wimp, you know. I gotta be a real soldier. They just must be incredible. And then a lot of these people are still kids in a lot of ways.
Oh, they are. Well, Scott, one thing I wanted to point out about our meeting with this one of our leaders there. They hadn't heard this before, and I believed them when they said that no one actually came into their office on a face-to-face to tell them this and speak from their heart. I think we've relied on emails and letters. Quite honestly, I think these congressmen and senators just blow those off. They don't even look at them and get feedback from them, I don't think. Face-to-face is so important. I encourage people to make an appointment at their congressman or senator's office to go in and speak. Quite often the senator or congressman isn't there. They're in Washington. But you talk to the staffers. They'll write down the information. And you can, if you speak from the heart, And you don't give them a bunch of ideologue, rabid information, but you speak from the heart and you tell them how you feel about your son or daughter over in Iraq. They'll pass that on to the senator and congressman. They need to know, and this is resulting in about the only way they're getting feedback, because they're ignoring emails and letters.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you said that, Phil. Very happy you said that, because this is a feeling I've had growing over the last couple of years, is that the peace movement, whatever, pick an issue, it seems to me we rely way too heavily on the internet and emails, and you can send off a action alert to the 30, 40, 50 people on your email list, and then feel like we've done that now, we'll take care of that problem. And I think that the personal contact, and it actually amazes me that here's a congressional leader that voted against the war, so is very supportive, that even this person's staff had never heard these stories.
What I was relaying to you, where the staffers had tears in their eyes, mm-hmm. was Senator Allen. Senator Allen, which is a conservative Republican.
Okay, I missed that. I'm sorry. But it's even more powerful, isn't it?
Yes. Scott, one of the things that we do is we don't go in and hammer people that are supporting our... if they voted against the war and they're not continuing to vote to pay for the war, give them our support. But even in that, we need to do that face-to-face, mm-hmm. the staffers, so that they get the message.
And one thing that the people really need to consider in the midterm elections is do not look at parties. You need to vote for those people who are going to vote against financial support of this war. We have to get to a point where we stop doing the straight party ticket. I don't care if it's Republican, Democrat, Independent, Libertarian, Green Party. I don't care. I will be voting for the man or the woman who is against this war and who will stand up and admit it.
Very, very good. Wow. I'm as you two do to me very often, I'm speechless. I don't know what to ask next, to tell you the truth. I'm continually impressed with how you all are covering all the bases. You're hitting all the people with the right spirit, that you're a spirit of total openness, and you're not just going around and talking to, as they say, preaching to the choir, although I'm sure there's always some of that happens, depending on the locale and the event, but you're reaching out and trying to do action, like at the recruiting station. You're talking to the congressional leaders that don't necessarily, at this point anyway, support what we're about, and so on. I'm very impressed, and it's amazing how you're keeping up your energy.
Yeah, I'll tell you what's keeping us going is the support we're finding along the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's keeping us going. We were at a church last night here in Richmond where they fed us a lovely dinner. We've been eating a lot of vegan food lately.
Are you losing weight or gaining weight?
Well, probably gaining a little from the potato chips we use as fillers along the way. It's a very nice dinner, and we had, of course, all our speakers from the tour, and then they had an open discussion regarding the war, and it was quite moving. A lot of good questions and thoughtful response.
Yes. Channel 8, the local news station, was filming it. We were so tired last night, we don't know if it was actually on the air. or parts of it. We're getting a lot more inquiries from news and a lot more coverage and articles in the newspapers, mm-hmm. photos now. And as closer we get to Washington, the more response we're getting. This movement, it was started in a ditch in Crawford. And I will go back and correct that. This movement was Cindy Sheehan, Bring Them Home Now tour. that started in a ditch in Crawford. The peace movement has been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
People doing a lot of work for a long time. But this particular part of it that Cindy started outside the ranch in Crawford has really taken off. And with the three buses going to Washington and the march on September 24th, I think and I hope we have 1.5 to 2 million people there to just drive this message home.
Mm-hmm.
Encourage people to show up in Washington.
And what are we going to do in Washington, Phil?
We're going to take our country back.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Our country back.
We're going to Washington to take our country back.
All right. Well, let's leave it at that for today. Once again, it's a privilege to talk to the two of you, and I appreciate your sharing everything, and particularly about some of the discussion about the conditions of our soldiers that are in the military and what they're dealing with. I think that that's the kind of thing that everybody needs to hear.
Thank you.
So have a great day in Richmond and Norfolk, I guess, right? As you get ever closer to Washington, D.C., which I guess you'll be tomorrow, huh?
Well, actually, yeah, we'll be leaving for Washington tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
All right. Okay, well, I will certainly check back in with you, and please have a really good day and a very productive day, as they all seem to have been.
Thank you so much, Scott. We'll talk to you later then.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah.